All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, F-Town? Hey, how we do it? It's a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects at 1300 hours, according to the Gal Media Clock. We are all here, present and accounted for. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel, and I'm not kidding. The clock right now says 1300.
That is weird. They must have adjusted it after I adjusted it. That's strange. I don't know. I'm not good at military time. I always have to count. Once you get past like 3 o'clock p.m., I'm screwed when it comes to military time. And that's despite me wearing all camouflage today.
You are.
I pass AJ in the hall. He goes, "What's happening, soldier?" It's like, "Oh, come on. How'd you even see me, bro?" Of course he's got to mess with me.
Sergeant sensitive. Making sure you fall into rank.
Yeah, so it's 1301. I hate military time.
We'll have to try and adjust that at some point during the show today.
I feel like I'm not smart enough to use military time. It's an intelligence
thing.
But
you're a really good counter. So therefore,
okay,
I would think that it takes you a little longer because you got to count them out, but you're fine.
Like if you were to be like, "Hey, I'll meet you at this spot at 1934," I'd be like, "I don't know how. What does that mean?"
But they normally it's just like 1900 hours or
yeah. But I don't know. Is that what is? I don't know. I'd be like 12.
Wouldn't that be 1900 hours? Would be 7 o'clock? Would it not?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and consult my chart.
Okay.
I have no idea. It's just always confused me. So,
don't we start at noon?
I don't see the point. Like, why do you have to go 0 to 24? Why can't you just use the clock like the clock is? Why does the military have to get fancy with it? I'm sure they have a good reason, but what it is, I don't know.
Way to go. Okay. Now the floodgates are open, and you are going to get multiple answers as to why the military use that system.
You are right, and I want every person out there to know I don't care what you think.
But you said you did.
I don't. Who said? No, I didn't say
you
I cared.
Did. You said, I really think that the military has a good
what?
That reason for why they use this system.
None of those words.
I think so.
No. Happy Tuesday. This is my Friday, fellas.
Yep. Nick,
I'm feeling
ready
it.
To just, he can't, he's chomping hitting
on the road.
Bit. Can't wait to see you hit the, put the rubber to the road and
taking the shuffle
wife. On off.
Hey, speaking of that, I was thinking about this. You mentioned rubbers.
I mentioned rubber.
I was thinking about the fact that you can't find hand sanitizer.
Nope.
Anywhere.
All over.
Because
nowhere.
Of coronavirus. Sold out. But there are still plenty of condoms on the shelves. You people need to get your priorities in order. You're worried about the wrong diseases. That okay. Some of y'all really need to get the condom aisles cleared out.
You get the coronavirus. You literally take Tamiflu and a Z-Pack and you're done.
With the coronavirus?
Yeah.
Really?
It's just like, yeah. You,
it's just
if
like
you
the
get,
flu?
If you get caught.
You just jinxed it. You're going to get.
You just take a stupid antibiotic, maybe some Tamiflu, and you're fine.
You okay. get, unless you're old
think,
or young.
Yeah, I think or older, weak. Very young are where you're really
and,
vulnerable.
And in terms of that, older are just more likely to die from it. They're not going to die
and
from
it, depends,
it. They're just more likely.
It depends if you like your grandparents or not. Then you're like, come on. What? Okay.
Not nice.
Not all
nice
minor.
Not
all
a nice minor. Way to start the show, sir.
Some people don't like their grandparents. Is that a stretch?
I barely met mine, so I probably wouldn't have cared either.
I never met my grandfathers.
Neither
I met
did
my
I.
grandmothers.
That's you exactly. never knew your grandfathers?
No, they were dead before Me I was too. Born.
You didn't know your grandparents?
My mom's dad died when she was 3. My dad's oh, dad died when he was 4. Like
that'll
they both
do it.
Didn't know their fathers.
That'll do it. And your parents, like your that'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they just didn't know their they just
so
died
what about
young.
The grand what about the other
I
ones?
I met both of them. I met both of the grandmas.
Oh, you just never met your granddads.
Correct.
And you never met
never met my grandfathers either, but knew both my grandmothers.
Really?
Yep.
Yep.
Wow.
They both passed away.
I knew
soon.
My both grandfathers, my step grandfather, which is a weird thing to have a step granddad, but I have a step granddad. I have a step grandma. Like, yeah. It was, I knew all of them.
Okay.
I mean, well, I didn't hate my grandparents. I just didn't see them. Like, I've seen, like, I've seen both of my grandmas a combination of, like, 10 times in my entire life.
Man, how crappy of a grandparent do you have to be if your grandkids hate you? Like, because that's the best relationship. Yeah. Between kids, right?
Because they love to spoil you.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And they can give you back. They don't have to be a full-time mom and dad.
True.
You're like the worst person on the planet if your grandkids hate you.
It's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, Taylor loves her grandma and grandpa. See? Obviously, my parents are gone. So, you know, she misses out on one set of grandparents, but, you know,
Lisa's parents just
adore her. So, yeah, she
loves
that.
That's the drawback, I feel like, of being a parent, because you have to be you always have to discipline your kids, right? So other people that meet your kids, they tend to like you more sometimes, you know, and parents take it personal.
Right.
You know? Like, I went to my friend, like, Jared. I went to his daughter's play, right? And every time I go to her play, I always bring her candy and a little bit of some flowers. Just, you know, just to say, hey, good job.
Yeah.
You know? So she's at the end of the play, her name is Amberlynn. She comes running, and it looks like she's running at her dad to give her a big hug. Nope. She passes Jared right up, and she gives me a big hug for being there. And Jared was like, I can't believe she did that. But that's what it is. Why? Because Jared is always disciplining his daughter. Every time Amberlynn sees me, she gets candy, she gets flowers.
Nick, you're the cool uncle.
I'm the cool. Exactly. Yeah. I have no reason to get upset with her ever. You know what I mean?
You better not think about that with Taylor. I'm just letting you know.
I guarantee it'll happen. If I meet her enough, I guarantee it'll happen.
We're already on the first name basis in the car when I'm on the speakerphone, and Nick is just like, hi, Taylor. She's like, hi, Nick. I just got done at the gym.
That is great.
So, you mentioned the drawbacks of being a parent. Experienced one of those last night, fellas. Taylor had a bad dream.
Okay.
Yep.
Is that her first?
She doesn't have them often, but she does tell us now that she does dream. But she had a bad dream, and it kind of freaked her out to the point that she's obviously getting... need some comfort and support, so she's between me and Lisa in the bed. I fell back asleep. I guess that bad dream scared the pee out of her.
Oh, bless her heart.
Bless her heart, but not my bed, because I was awakened by Lisa. Babe, get up! And I'm like, I'm sound asleep. It's like 4 a.m. Taylor peed the bed! I'm like, where? My spot. Oh, I'm good. I'm like, okay, we'll just throw a towel down. We'll clean it up in the morning. She's like, are you out of your mind? We're doing this right now. And then Taylor's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. I'm like, Taylor, you're fine. It's okay. But then Lisa's like, you know, because she's a clean freak. Well, yeah. Now I got to go bathe Taylor. I go, you're going to bathe Taylor at 4 a.m. I go, can at least we do the sheets first so I can go back to bed? I mean, come on. Killing me.
You're a terrible person.
No, I'm just, I value my sleep.
I commend you for the way you handled it with the kid,
but
the way you handled it with Lisa is not as smooth.
Man, I was just like, come on. So that put a monkey wrench in the sleeping pattern for another evening. But, you know, it goes with the territory. And Taylor was obviously very sorry this morning. And then Lisa's laughing. She had to walk in the other room because, like, I'm getting Taylor ready for school. And she's like, I'm so sorry, Daddy. I didn't mean it. I had a bad dream and it scared me. I go, it's okay, Taylor, but let me ask you a question. Who's going to really stop wet in the bed first, Maddie or you? And she stopped, looked at it, and Lisa's like laughing. I go, no, really? Like, you don't want Maddie to beat you, right? She goes, Daddy, I don't normally pee the bed. I go, okay, well, let's just work on it then. Because I don't want this to be a regular occurrence.
Yeah, that's not good.
I don't need Taylor Lake in the middle of the bed. It's not...
I mean, go do that in your bed. If you pee the bed, that's fine. Don't pee Daddy's bed.
You
pee your bed.
At that point, right, exactly. And at that point, I did help her to strip the bed, but the first thing I did was check. Did it go all the way through to the mattress cover? No. Yeah. It just got her, you know, her pajamas and a little of the sheet. Well, let's just get the sheet out of here. I would be totally fine with just going right back to bed right now.
Right.
Right, for my single days, if something happens, hey, you know, I'll take care of it in the morning. Just throw it on the bathroom floor. So that was an interesting occurrence.
So you've gotten drunk and peed the bed before, is what you're telling people.
No. I wasn't talking about peeing. I wasn't talking about that, but it's okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of crap in the bed, the Texans.
Boy, oh boy.
Huh?
Oh
boy. What's that? It's a professional radio transition.
Boy,
oh boy. News out of camp. Forget the tight end story. But Texans have re-signed Kyahmi Fairbairn.
What?
To a 4-year deal worth $17 million, and they're guaranteeing him $9 million, apparently.
Here's where, Bill O'Brien just can't keep doing wrong any better than he's doing. This is a guy that they were contemplating if they had enough time to bring in competition or get rid of.
How many games in a row did he miss an extra point? Like four or five in a row at least, right?
Yeah.
So I real quick, you know me and my numbers. Mm-hmm. I looked it up real fast. Where did he rank among other kickers in field goal percentage and extra point percentage? Where did he rank amongst those? He was 20th in the league in field goal percentage, 29th in extra point percentage. And this is the guy that they're like, oh, no, fam, let's throw some money at him. Like, why not have a competition?
And make it guaranteed?
Yeah, you're giving him $9 million guaranteed. Just doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it. I don't.
Well, it's a good thing you're a Chiefs fan. Because, I mean, this is all squarely on your guy's shoulders again.
P. Randizzle sent a message to me. He's like, boy, Barry sold that car right before the transmission quit.
Sure did.
That's a waste of money. I mean, just a ridiculous waste of money.
I don't get that one. I mean, and Fells is back in the fold at tight end. $4 million upcoming this year for a 30-some-year-old tight end who did have a good year for them this last year. So, you know, you kind of probably think with that and the fact that they've wasted a lot of draft picks on tight ends in the last several years. I say wasted, but, you know, they've gotten some guys. But that means you're probably out on Hunter Henry. You're probably out on, you know, some of the top free agent tight ends that might have been a good fit here. So you just go, okay, well, you better hope that Merciless plays his ass off and Kaimi kicks his tail off. And, you know, at every position when you're getting top six, I'm wondering now where he sits in terms of contract-wise in the NFL.
So he
had per kickers.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm looking up. He's got a four-year, $17.6 million deal. $9 million guaranteed, average annual salary of 4.4 in 2020. He will earn, so 4.4 million a year. That puts him top five. That puts him fourth amongst kickers.
Oh my God.
It's Robbie Gould at 5.1, and this is just 2020 cap hits. Robbie Gould and Justin Tucker each at 5.1 million. Guskowski with the Patriots at 4.8. And then Graham Gano at 4.3. So now Kaimi Fairbairn is the fourth highest paid kicker in the NFL.
You've got to be kidding me.
While ranking 20th in field goal percent and 28th in extra point percent.
Well, there goes the market. Now every kicker's got something to shoot for. Are you kidding me?
God, it feels so good to not be a Texans fan. My Chiefs are just the best.
Screw you. Well, I mean,
sip my tea. Look, this team, I feel like this team can't do wrong right now.
That's what I'm saying. Bill O'Brien, the team, no matter how do you categorize it, they can't do wrong right.
You got a lot of money to spend that needs to be spent on other people. You could have brought in all kinds of kickers and not had to pay $4.4 million a year. I just don't get it. But
well, Texans gonna Texan, bro.
His field goal percentage by year, 80, 88, and 80. He is an 83%.
You know Justin Tucker's like the gold standard, right? Yeah. So you get him being up there. Robbie Gould's been doing it for a long time, doing it well. So you can understand him being up there. But even Graham Gano, okay. But then fourth, Kaimi Fairbairn? Mason Crosby just re-signed. He's been doing it for a long time.
I wonder how many people. It'd be interesting to see just how many players in the NFL Kaimi Fairbairn makes more money than. And I guarantee you there's going to be people on the list where you're like, oh my, why is this dude making more than let's see. Here we go. Here's all the money. Devin Bush, 4.2 million.
Sickening.
Yeah. Kaimi Fairbairn makes as much money as Deshaun Watson.
Oh my God.
Deshaun Watson's gonna make 4.4 million.
It's time for you to do your Mark Berman.
Ed Oliver makes $4.4 million, and so does Kaimi Fairbairn.
Well, Houston, your boy Bill is at it again. We're going to be at it for the next 3 hours if you want to talk about it. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. Hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, just getting it started at 13:19 in the afternoon. Get on that clock, will you, Chief? At some point?
I'm not your little bitch that's doing errands. You get on the clock if you want to change.
Oh, I'm on the clock, bro. We started at 1. I'm here.
He's giving me orders. You ain't my boss.
It's a ghetto-ass clock, though.
Yeah, it is a ghetto-ass clock.
Need a new one.
The fact that it's not synced up with... It's close now. It used to not be synced up with the computer clock, but now it is. Mm. So, that's good. The date's wrong and everything else, so it's pretty accurate. It says it's actually March 10th.
It is March 10th.
It is March 10th.
The date's right. My bad.
Come on, man.
I'm surprised I remember that.
I got to count the hours out. It's military time. Give me a few. All right, so here's another thing. We were talking about the Texans. We can get back to that, but that's just Bill O'Brien and Bill O'Brien-ing, and the Texans going to Texan, and now you got Nick Martin and Whitney Mercilus in the top six at their position, and Kiami Fairbairn in the top four at his position, and yet you still got a left tackle that you gave up multiple high draft picks for that's going to be kicking you in the bank account until you give him $20 million plus. Once you get that deal done, and then you got to get your Deshaun Watson contract done. But the future's bright, and everything's sunshine and rainbows on Kirby. So, with that being said, fellas, let's get to something even more serious than that. That's the coronavirus. We get home last night, and I see that the four major sports leagues have come together to say, for the time being, there will be no more media in the locker room. There will be no more locker room media access and availabilities, and they're going to do it just with select players, basically like the playoffs at the podium, and they feel like that is going to help while they're dealing with the coronavirus.
I understand it, and I the reason I understand it is because you do have media that travels frequently. There's a bigger chance that they could come in contact with somebody who is traveling abroad and you know, either just on a connecting flight or whatever. I understand it. And I get it. It's one way to limit the risk.
To some degree, I get that. Yeah. And especially when, like you said, when you've got national media, it's not just the local media.
Not just national media, international media.
That too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, it makes it harder for the teams, not the media. I mean, because...
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I mean, those locker rooms stink anyway. You bring out James Harden and Russell Westbrook to the podium, you get great audio quality, you get a straight look at his face. Everybody can use their cameras or their microphones to capture content without the struggle of being around, you know, shoulder to shoulder with three or four other people. I think it's advantage media here. And at the same time, even if it doesn't serve as a big deterrent, I can see why you would do that. Just like you said, I mean, as maybe it minimizes the chances. If it doesn't, at least they're just trying to make it, you know, serve as a deterrent until this all clears up.
But you just know the media. There's going to be people that take issue with this and cause a stink.
Jonathan Fagan's going to be one of them because he's not worried about getting just Russ and James. He's worried about a side story. He's worried about getting guys in a group, you know, getting guys from a group of players to talk about this or that and then trying to chase them all down instead of being in one centralized location in the locker room. He's going to have to try and catch them in the hallway, catch them walking to their car. Guys are always saying, walk with me if you want to talk to me because I got to go. They're not going to want to stay and sit on the podium either. So that's why I wanted to get your feedback because you cover the team nightly. So I was curious as to your thought, and you brought up something I didn't really think about, but you're right. In those scrums, someone's always getting screwed from a video or picture perspective. Someone else is not getting close enough to get the sound quality they want with their phone or their recording device. So the fact that if they treat it like playoffs and people can plug into the malt box and they can get top quality audio and all that other stuff, they'll probably be happier for that. Mm-hmm. I just think that from a team perspective, and I told you guys this kiddingly in some regards, but also from just personal experience, the thing is going to be trying to go back to it once this coronavirus is corralled. Because I've told you from simple things like the Rockets used to have a Christmas party every year. They called it a holiday party for obvious reasons with Mr. Alexander. But it was always at a hotel or something really nice, and they gave you gifts, and they did all kinds of things. And the minute the first lockout started in 99, when they had the disagreement with the players and they had the collective bargaining agreement up in the air. We're going to have to table that. It is yet to come back.
Hmm.
So the thing with things like that is once you set a precedent,
I don't think it'll be
to
this.
Stop it. You don't have to necessarily go back, but the league-wide mandate would mean you'd have to do it again.
Yeah, the league is going to control. I mean, that kind of thing that you're talking about is really more owner and team
saving
specific.
Money, yep.
But this is all about coverage and media and access to the teams and the players and, you know, amendment rights for freedom of the press and all that stuff. So it's a bigger thing, I think.
And I'm talking about more than just this, because I'm talking about what we talked about the other day, too.
What I'm saying is, I don't think it goes away. Once this is passed, they're going to go back to the way it used to be.
When they sent the initial memo, and C.J. McCollum and other guys came out and said, yeah, I'm done signing autographs. I'm not doing that kind of stuff. Well, that's your bread and butter with your grassroots, with your fan base. You know, the selfies, the autographs. So at some point, the league's going to have to probably say, okay, we're done with this, fellas. You can't be limiting your signing and your selfies and your those kind of things anymore, because that's how you really develop this, you know, this fandomonium, this long-term relationship with the fans.
You can't mandate that they sign autographs.
You can't mandate it, but you can encourage it.
Well, okay.
Because I think, again, there's some players, obviously a lot of players hate doing it. Some guys are worried they're selling it. Some guys just don't like it. For whatever reason, they don't want to interact with people. And the fact that it's always been highly encouraged from all the different leagues, especially like the NBA, to have this now built in to say, I don't have to do it anymore, it's going to be hard to get them to come back and do it, I think, in a lot of cases.
I feel like a lot of the players, it's such a personal choice, right? Like, I think some players are blessed to be in the NBA or NFL or in baseball and willingly want to sign those autographs for kids and whatnot and fans in general. And yeah, there are some that probably feel like it's a burden.
Sure.
And so they may take the opportunity, but it's such an individual, it's such a personal thing. So I don't know. I don't think the league, and they might say, hey, it's probably safe if you want to, but I doubt that they push these guys.
I'm telling you, especially when they go into like the Boys and Girls Clubs, or, you know, they're going to, I mean, that's where they have to, children's hospital, things like that. That's where, you know, these.
Well, that's different.
That's
though.
Where
I'm
you
talking
really,
about,
what I'm saying. You're,
I'm
this
talking
is
about
I'm
leaving
about
the arena and there's lines of kids and adults wanting you to sign a jersey or a ball. To me, that's different than doing an appearance at a hospital.
But I'm saying different. They're going to encourage it all across the board, including, I get, the guys don't want it, and a lot of times they don't, on the line going to their car or up the parking ramp or whatever. But at the tunnel, coming to the court and back, that's where, and the NBA capitalizes. They get a lot of pictures of that kind of stuff that they're using in advertisements and otherwise, too. Mm-hmm. But they are going to encourage guys, hey, don't stop doing that at a certain point. Once this, like I said, they've got a handle on this thing. Because even just the hand slapping to and from the court, those are big deals. And it means a lot to the fans. It means a lot to the league.
Okay.
So we'll see how it plays out. But that's a group ruling that came out late last night. NHL, Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA. So we'll see what's next, because look, if you are talking about things going on in California, next thing next for Stanford and for the San Jose Sharks is get ready to start considering playing games without fans, because that's crazy too. That may be coming up. Yeah, there's because of all the coronaviruses in California, that in the area where Stanford and the San Jose Sharks play, they're starting to say no big group gatherings for sporting events.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we can talk about that. We got a lot more on the agenda. If you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, half hour into the 3 hour extravaganza, you know, as the Usual Suspects, right here on the Big FM as we kick around some things. What's on your mind, Laminac?
Your boy is firing back at Draymond.
Chuckster?
This back and forth between Draymond and Charles is everything we wanted it to be. So Draymond had said, you know, had come out and had the following quote where he was talking about Barkley and said, he should stop before I take his job. If he keeps talking, I'll take it sooner than he thinks. He probably should be quiet. He also can't talk basketball with me either. Not smart enough, not qualified, no rings, can't sit at this table. So Barkley, being Barkley, was on the Dan Patrick Show and said the following to Draymond. My job is safe. Draymond Green is a nice guy. I like Draymond, and he's a good player. But you know what he is? He's like that guy in a boy band who's the least important member, and he thinks the crowd is cheering for him. He doesn't realize he's standing next to Justin Timberlake.
That's fantastic.
He said he's the least famous person in the boy band, and he thinks he's the star, and he's not. He thinks all the girls are screaming for him, and like, no, they're screaming for Justin Timberlake. You're just in the band. Enjoy being in the band, because you're never going to have a hit single. But he's a nice guy. I like messing with him. First off, he don't have a face for TV. He's got a face for radio, so he's not getting my TV gig. So good.
Telling you what, man. Don't ever underestimate
him. Even though the face for radio joke is super lame, yep, and is just, it's almost as bad as Houston, we have a problem at this point. Mm-hmm. I still love the whole boy band reference thing. That's brilliant.
It's a great analogy.
It really is. And especially with Draymond, because he's right. Draymond's the, you know, he's the one guy in the band that no one knows his name. They just know he's there because they don't care about him.
Well, I called him the Robert Horry, you know, and maybe I gave him too much glory because Robert Horry. Yeah. One's, you know, multiple championships.
Big Shot Bob had a good
nickname.
Came
out with some big shots at some big times. But, you know, his career's not over. Obviously, I get that. But, yeah, don't, you know, just don't overstep it that much, man.
I love it. It's a great comeback by Charles, though.
It is. But you know what? The triple single was great, too.
Yeah.
The fact that, look, he's just having some fun. That's the thing. And I told you guys this before, but the thing that's really amazing to me is how many people take everything Charles says so much to heart that they get emotional about it? I've seen it happen too many times over the years. I've seen it happen at All-Star games where All-Star players had to have someone from their group of people in their inner circle come and try and get Charles so that he could talk to them, so that they could express how hurt and upset they were that he was just being honest about that player.
Yeah.
I mean, pull your big boy pants up and realize you're getting monster salary, all this pub. You're still an all-star, regardless of what he says. But his job is to be critical.
And funny. I mean, right. Let's face it. People tune into Barkley because he's funny. And sometimes funny hurts people's feelings. They'll get over it.
Man, I can't tell you between players' parents and, like, seriously, their inner circle coming and going, hey, so-and-so would like to meet with you. And he's been crying because he's really offended by the things you've said about him. He's like, come on, man. When I played, ain't nobody crying about anything that anybody said on TV. Because you know what? If you went about your business and did your thing, it didn't matter what anybody else said. The fact that Draymond Green's all of a sudden got rabbit ears and he's sensitive to everything that people are saying about him. Look, just go out and keep winning championships and hope that's enough to get you the notoriety that you hope for when you're done playing.
Yeah. But like you said, put your big boy pants on.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Because a triple single ain't getting you in the Hall of Fame, bro. And I damn sure think you're going to have to work a little harder than that to get on a show and do what Charles has done on TV.
Yeah, Charles is really good at what he does. I mean, sometimes I feel like his breakdowns are like slanted or even maybe he doesn't go as in-depth. But that's his job. He gives opinions. And sometimes he gets detailed. Sometimes he doesn't.
See,
you know, it's
but it, that's where.
But half of the reason you watch Barkley is for the entertainment.
No question about it. And the interaction with Shaq and all those other things. But here's the thing, Barry. He's learned over time, and it's to his detriment that he is preaching to the layman. So he, like Draymond Green's trying to say, he knows more basketball than Charles. Don't kid yourself, man.
Yeah.
Charles knows the game inside and out. Now, also to his credit, when they started doing NCAA games, he admittedly said, I don't know every kid's name on every college team. But he worked at it. But in terms of just the X's and O's and executing, you know, how the game is played, he knows the game. But because on a nightly basis, like you said, a lot of people are just tuning in for the entertainment. he's not going to dive down that rabbit hole and make it getting into every, you know, critical breakdown. He's going to try and just simple it down, dummy it down so that people get it, but they don't have to get too deep into it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, I mean, I'm going to try and get him on. I got to get him on.
Do it.
Yeah, between now and the tournament, between all this stuff with Draymond Green, the fact that they're going to be doing the tournament, he'll want to promote that anyway or talk about it. And Lisa told me this morning, and I didn't know this, but it kind of intrigued me. I don't know if you saw this or not. As part of, he's been in the media a lot, he's going to start selling his memorabilia so that he can build, I believe it's low-income housing in his hometown of Leeds, Alabama. So he's going to sell both gold medals. He's going to sell a signed Bill Russell jersey, which, if you don't know, Bill Russell, even with the players themselves, he does not sign very often. He'll take pictures, he'll shake hands, but he's just never been an autograph guy. But obviously for he and Charles, you remember, he flipped him off at the NBA Player Awards because he was kidding. They have a great relationship. You know, it's tough to get a Bill Russell autograph. So if he signed a jersey, that's going to be a big deal. But he wants to take all the money and put it towards creating housing opportunities in Leeds, Alabama.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So, you know what? For all the abuse he gets and all the criticism, I've told you guys before, he doesn't want any credit for it. He's got a huge heart. He's smarter than you think, and he's a great dude. So,
speaking of abuse and criticism, as much as we just went in on the Texans, they did do a pretty good job with Darren Fells. They re-signed him, so 2-year, $7 million deal. So 3.5 is pretty good for Darren Fells when you consider what he did, and they didn't overpay, I don't believe. I checked on Spot Track to see what his you know, market value would be, and they had it about what I thought. I was thinking somewhere around 4, but they had him at 4.3. But still, so if you got him at 3.7, you did good.
Good job. And a lot of people thought he was a blocking tight end, was a journeyman for his career. Last year had, what, 7 touchdown catches, so took a huge step up. You're hoping it continues. He is over 30, so
33.
He's not a young guy. But if, you know, he's a guy you believe that you can continue to progress with, then, yeah, you're right. You didn't have to pay too much. But he was a member of several tight ends that you used.
Yeah.
And if you could have upgraded your offense and gotten a real kind of combo tight end that can provide, you know, good blocking but also great receiver for Deshaun.
Especially in the red zone.
Right.
And you need somebody like that that you can count on and be reliable in the red zone because you know D-Hop's going to be doubled. You know they're going to be keen on certain things, spying Watson because he might run. You can't cover everybody. You can't double everybody, I should say. So you have an opportunity to get a guy like Darren Fells that really almost doubled his touchdown production in 1 year. He had 10 in his previous, 5 years in the league? And then in 1 year, he gets 7 more. So I like it because they didn't overpay. I mean, is he the best tight end in football? No. Is he reliable in the red zone? I think he proved that last year. So, you know, he earned a spot on the roster and some money. So,
and if he does it for the next 2 years, look for him to be a top 6 paid tight end when he's 35.
Man, he's going to get Gronk money if he does it
again.
I mean,
when you think about Merciless, Nick Martin, now Kyahmi Fairbairn.
Jeez.
You still got to pay Tunsil, and you know he's going to be top 3 when all is said and done because you can't let him walk.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That between Tunsil and Watson alone, yep. I think they're probably in the neighborhood of 55 combined.
20 plus, more than that. Because as other quarterbacks, then Dak's deal is going to be next. But as other quarterbacks up that 35 a year high price tag that's the highest in the league, which is what right now Russell Wilson, there's 35. Tunsil, they're saying, starts at 20. So there's your 55, and if a couple guys get a deal done at more than 35 before Deshaun comes up, especially if Mahomes gets his deal done, Watson's going to want to be in that 35 to 40 range.
Yeah.
Now you're looking at 60 for those two guys.
Yeah, it could be. Ooh. So right now, I just pulled it up on Spot Track. Right now, Texans have 60.9 million in cap space. They're top 51, they have 62.9. But Watson and Tunsil combined, 52 million is what Spot Track is saying.
Okay. Hope they can get him for that.
So, but you're right, though. As the market moves, those numbers are going to move, too. So be ready.
There you go. All right, so we'll continue to roll on. You want to talk Texans? You want to talk Rockets coming up with a game tonight against the Timberwolves? You want to talk Astros or something else? Join us. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects, ESPN 975.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through. Hour number one, 3 hour show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Talking Texans, some of the guys they signed. Darren Fells, Kaimi Fairbairn, some of the guys they need to sign. Laremy Tunsil, Deshaun Watson, little Charles Barkley, Draymond Green talk. Got the Rockets tonight, boys. Normally, Minnesota should be an easy win. No big deal. Kick some tail. Put it in the win column. Move on. But, or I could do by Charlie, but when you got a team that's lost four in a row and three of those four games have been to really bad teams, this one's got to concern you a little bit.
No.
Okay. Sliding to the sixth seed.
Yeah.
Every game's important.
Only a game up on Dallas for the seventh seed.
That's awful.
They are doing a really good job of falling back to the pack.
Oh, I think they've already fallen. They just got to know if they can get up or not.
Mm.
That's I feel like it's going to even feel bad, even if they win, but it's like a close game. It's still not going to feel like a win, and that's the reason why I think it's dangerous. Because even if they win this game, but they win by like 4 or 5 points, yeah. You know, how much credit are you going to give this team for beating a 19-win Minnesota Timberwolves squad? So, I mean, I think that's the problem. And they're probably going to have so much pressure on themselves because they know they're going up against a team that's, you know, not very good, and they're probably going to, you know, if the pressure gets going in the third or fourth quarter where they're not, like, putting this game away, I can see that being a high-pressure situation all the way until the fourth quarter.
Or if they get off to another slow start like they have been in the 20 past.
20-0 against the Hornets wasn't a good look.
Because you feel like, oh, well, maybe they're looking past this team, and you can't. Yeah, at this point, you got to pretend like the T-Wolves are the Lakers. You got to go out there and just run them out of the gym just to get back on the right side of things. And
look at how many bad losses. We just mentioned Charlotte, the Knicks, and the Magic.
Yep.
How about Golden State on Christmas Day? You know, you can just start. Craig and I used to do this when we were actually doing the team's games, going every year there's about five games when you know you let one get away, you should have won. But then talk about Sacramento beating you at the buzzer when Suns, you had that game won, right?
Yeah.
Suns loss. They're just stacking up. When you get over five, now it becomes a concern because that could be the difference between a four seed and a six seed.
Yep.
And so they've got to pay more attention. So you're talking about a guy that in D'Angelo Russell that now seems to be happy. Whether Carl Anthony Towns is out or not, it doesn't matter. You got a guy that's president of the team in Gerson Rosas that would love nothing better than to tell his team, I would love to go back to Houston and get a win.
Mm-hmm.
It would really mean a lot to me. So they can create little, you know, sidebar motivational things for them too. And don't think for a second this is the NBA where everybody's paid and paid handsomely that they come in and go, I'd like to add to their misery. Well, they think they're going to beat us.
The line is 12. They're a minus 900 and a 12-point favorite. You think they cover the 12?
I mean, I honestly, my first reaction right away would say yes. But then you start thinking about, you know, like we've been talking about, you know, whether they let a team in, let a team back in. They can go up 20 and just quickly let a team back in. And then in crunch time, I mean, garbage time, if hopefully you're up big, a team could slide back in. I'm not so sure. Like Nick was saying, you know what? If they win and they don't win by 12, it's a horrible look.
So they're 3-0 this year so far against the T-Wolves. First three meetings, they won by 20, 30, and 7.
And they were in a different place in terms of how they were playing. So yeah. I guess.
On the road, they beat them 125-105, came back home, beat them 139-109, went back on the road, beat them 131-124. So now they're at home again. I it's weird because 12 seems like about right.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would.
You're taking Minnesota in the points?
I think so.
Nick?
I think they'll cover. I think they'll cover.
I kind of do, too.
I hope they do. But, man, as bad as the defense has looked the last four or five games, I don't know if I trust that defense. Unless they just – Mike D'Antoni got them yesterday in practice, chewed all their asses out.
You believe that based on what Nick said about how he's been handling the locker room, especially at halftime?
But I'm saying that's why I'm suggesting that the 12 doesn't seem like a comfortable number for me for them to cover, because I don't think he got them all together and chewed their asses out and said, from now on, I don't care who's shooting what or what. This is all about defense. We are going to be a defensive team from here on. That's not happening on this team. And it's exactly what needs to happen.
And what's even worse is if the shot starts to fall, I don't think that makes them want to play defense anymore, because you've seen times where they hit the three-point shot quite a bit. And they beat teams by more than 10, 15, 20 points with average defense, because they could get away with it in that particular game. And if the shot's falling, if they're feeling confident because they're knowing they're going up against a 19-win Minnesota Timberwolves team who really don't have the depth to beat you, with the 7-man rotation that you have with Mike D'Antoni, you're just a more talented team.
Sure. But here's the thing. As you've pointed out, in terms of short meetings at halftime when you're getting your butt kicked, to the post game where I was irked by how flippantly laughing and upbeat he was when they got pounded. The thing that I think is they're not going to get motivated from their head coach and their coaching staff. Because you know what should have happened? Because you're absolutely right, Barry. It is about the defense. So here's the thing. What should happen on that practice yesterday is don't even pick up a ball. Get your ass in that film room, and I'm going to show you on film over and over and over again every time you dogged it on D. You didn't rotate. You didn't contest at the rim. Just so that you can feel the embarrassment in the room and go, and now if you think you're embarrassed in here, think about what they're talking about out there. Yeah. And find the motivation to be able to do something you're supposed to do, like you said, and pound a team that's not as good. But they're not getting it from the coaching staff. The only thing I can say is that they've seen all the different things on TV in the last day or two to know that people have basically just written them off as just being a joke now again. That maybe that's the motivation they need, and they'll come out swinging. But other than that, I don't know where they're getting it from.
Dude, I pulled up the T-Wolves stats for this year, and it shows you like who their points leader is, and it's crazy. One of the things it shows you is how many of the players that have amassed stats for this team were involved in one way, either going or coming, in a midseason trade.
Yep, a lot.
The turnover on this roster is unbelievable. I can't even count how many players on this squad were involved in midseason trades, but this is crazy.
Well, it's because Gerson just got there. And so Gerson's going to put his stamp on the roster. So in doing so, he was involved in the multiple team trade with the Rockets. Mm-hmm. He was involved in the D'Angelo Russell trade to Golden State. So he's basically trying to overhaul the roster. Obviously, Russell's a guy he wants to build around. He knew that, you know, you've already got Karl Anthony Towns signed. Whether the other group believed in him or not, he realizes because he's under contract at a big dollar amount, unless I can get equal value, this is going to be my guy. So I better find someone he can play with. So he goes and gets Russell as his number two. And then he wants role players to go around him. So he tries to unload some of the guys that maybe the previous regime were high on, and tries to get guys that fit the way he's going to want them to play, knowing he's got a pass this year, but the clock's ticking starting next year.
Karl Anthony Towns isn't playing today. He was out for a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, he's been out.
That's what I thought. Yeah, it's crazy when you look at this roster. And because, I mean, like Robert Covington was the leader statistically in a lot of things for this team when you consider that they have Towns listed as out. And this is just according to the ESPN page that they have. So you should blow this team out, but the way that the Rockets have been playing defensively...
I thought you'd come over to the dark side with Nick and I if Karl Anthony Towns wasn't playing.
No. You know why? Again, because I've watched the Rockets. The Rockets are playing, and I've watched their defense.
Okay. Because, you know, if he was playing, they don't have anybody over 6'9 to stop him, but...
Yeah, true.
Without him, we'll see. All right, before we get to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I made the switch about 3.5 years ago. I just re-upped with them, and why wouldn't I? Because they've saved me thousands off my previous energy provider and the bills I used to get. They've done it for a lot of listeners. P. Randizzle was the latest to say, lowest energy bill I've ever gotten. They can do the same thing for you. All you got to do is check them out at InfuseEnergy.com. Better yet, call them 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. Right off the top, if you call them, you're going to find out that you get a human being on the phone, not an automated system. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them. They're going to pinpoint when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, if it's for your business or for your family, and then get you the best rate and the best deal they possibly can. Most times that'll blow your previous deal out of the water, but in the rare occasions there's another company out there that could beat their prices, they're going to let you know that too, because they're going to be 100% honest and they want to build a trusted relationship with you. Even if that means you walk this time and go to somebody else, you'll be back because you remember you can trust them and they didn't try to screw you over. Simply put, it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. If you call 844-INFUSE2 and mention ESPN 97.5, right off the top you get a $25 bill credit, and the process goes from there. Check them out. Basically, you're going to be happy you did. They got a 5 out of 5 star rating on the Public Utilities Commission of Texas, and they're going to be customer service friendly. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5.